Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. Hey, if you're not subscribing and commenting on our episode shows, then where are you at? This is so much fun. We're learning so much. We're having a blast. And today we're going to talk about like inclusivity, and we're going to get a little personal about myself as well as with our wonderful guest here, Jennifer Evans. How are you, Jen?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. So let's chat about our guest to our listeners so that way we can get to know you a little bit if you don't know her. Jennifer has been in veterinary medicine for 23 years. 23. Wow. She has worked in all areas from kennel to reception to technician and finally ended up in hospital operational management. She served as president and COO for 6 years at a nonprofit rescue called One Love Pet Orphanage. For the last 2.5 years, she has been at Zoetis as a diagnostic technical specialist, where she recently been named the co-lead for the colleague resource group, Proud and Welcome. I love that. Even with being a full-time colleague of Zoetis, she still incorporates her dedication to veterinary medicine by serving on local boards and volunteering at local hospitals, as well as veterinary-based give-back events. So it's wonderful. Thank you for all you do. That's fantastic.
Thank you. It brings joy to my life, so I'm always more than willing.
Yeah, it feels good to give back. And okay, so we're going to talk about, you know, LGBTQ plus here, because, you know, we're both members of the LGBTQ plus community. And, you know, to our listeners, we work a lot with our friends at Pride BMC and the student Pride BMC as well. So I guess, you know, when did you know you were gay versus when you came out?
Ooh, Adam, that's actually a big question, because I think I knew at a young age. But with the way that I was raised, and I think the acceptance in general within veterinary medicine at the time, I was not comfortable truly realizing who I was. I lived in a small town. I didn't know how to be a gay woman. And I think I knew at a much younger age, but honestly, I didn't come out until my mid-30s, like 33.
And what do you think, I don't want to say what took so long by any means, because it varies from one person to the next, but, you know, what at 33 made you decide now's the time?
You know, they talk about authenticity at work and being your true self. And I had a day where I had a girlfriend and I didn't want to not talk about it at work. And it just built up in so much to the point where I was like, I have to say something or I feel like I'm going to explode. And that was the moment when I knew that I wanted to be my authentic self, not only hidden in my personal life, but out to the world and to my work.
Right. Yeah. Some of it boils down to like comfort and safe space and those kinds of things. So did you feel that you weren't comfortable back then? I mean, not with just yourself, let's just say, but maybe the environment that you're around. Did you feel that there weren't enough resources available, or what was that like for you?
I felt like I was offending people.
Yeah.
I felt like me being gay was offensive to people, and I didn't want to make them uncomfortable. And if the easiest way for me to not make them uncomfortable is for me to hide who my true self was, that's what I did. And I was so focused on pleasing everybody else that I didn't focus on the most important person in my life, and that was me.
Yeah, it really is you, absolutely. And, you know, what would have made you feel a little bit more comfortable? Like now, knowing what you know now versus then, what do you think back then would have made you feel more comfortable?
You know, Adam, since starting at Zoetis, I've done a lot of work with different Pride, like Pride BMC and different Pride organizations. And I'm going into a lot of clinics and I see a lot of different things. And I think about this question often, what could I have done or what have I seen in clinics where I've thought to myself, man, that would make me feel comfortable. And I walked into a clinic the other day and they had a little progressive pride flag on their window. There wasn't anything else in that clinic that said anything about Pride or LGBTQ plus, but that sticker on that window meant a lot to me. And I even took the time to recognize that with that clinic, because something that small would have made me feel so much more comfortable.
Yeah. You feel like you're welcome to the supper table or welcome to dance. Like we always talk about when we talk about DEI, of course. And, you know, I'll share a story with the listeners for me. And when I knew that I was gay when I was probably in like fourth or fifth grade. And, you know, I knew, but I didn't know how to respond or react to it and so forth. And I knew I wanted to be a veterinarian even before that too. And so when I was at the veterinary hospital that I was, to your point, what you were doing too, you rose through the ranks from kennel and reception, and so did I. And the hospital that I was at, I'll never forget this too, Jennifer, this was just such a huge problem, is he was using the F word a lot about an employee. And I'll never forget this because I had nobody to talk to. I mean, my parents would have known, but I just didn't know who to direct this. But I remember coming home from work crying, and not about end of life care, but of like, this is somebody that I really have looked up to. And then this is a hospital that I was hoping to feel accepted when I go to vet school, you know, if I was going to get a vet school, those different things. And just to see that demoralizing feeling, and I didn't know how to approach this employee because he was older than me. I was young. I was just in high school. It changed almost my entire trajectory, honestly, of how I was going to practice veterinary medicine. And here he was supposed to be my mentor. I looked up to this gentleman when I was a kid. And then when I started working for him and hearing those words, I still get choked about hearing about it, because it's almost like you meet that wonderful celebrity, that person, and then they're not who you think they really are. And like your whole world goes crumbling. And then I said, oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, I can't work here. If there was like a moment of a flag or inclusivity or somebody to say, you know, if there's somebody that you need to talk to, Adam, I'm here for you. Cause I probably would have come out to somebody right then and there, you know? And I feel like nowadays, cut to where we're at in 2022, 2023, it's so much better, obviously. It's still got a ways to go, but I think it's way, way better. Would you think so in your experience?
I would say that the newer generation coming up running these vet practices, I think it's going to be an absolute game changer. I think that there's still an old stigma that is around in general that comes from the type of medicine we were raised with that just hasn't kicked over yet. I'll give you a story. I work at a corporate company now, and we were doing a CE event, right? And there's a gentleman in the area that's very well respected, wonderful, wonderful man. And you can tell he has a kind heart, right? And we were having conversation, and I'm not really the type of person that wants to come in and necessarily talk about the drugs that my company makes. I want to make a connection. I want to know you. I like to have that kind of interaction with these doctors. And we were talking, and he had made the reference. He said, he was talking about a story. He said, well, you know, because he was one of those queers. And I just sat in that moment of, this man goes to all of these veterinary hospitals and all of these, he's a leader in this area. People look up to him, and that is the narrative that he is using. And I knew right then that was a very pivotal moment for me, because I knew that I was going to move from fighting for myself to fighting for everybody else. And it was a very important moment for me.
Yeah, it really was. Wow. And we're so glad that, you know, people like us that are, you know, vociferous, we have these leadership roles, we're, you know, representing our community within veterinary medicine. I think it's wonderful with what you're doing. And were you accepted by leadership and your peers after coming out?
I was. I'll tell you the story about my doctor. It's so funny. My doctor, I love him. He's just a huge mentor to me. He's a very Christian man, and he lives by his faith. And I always had a deep respect for that, because I was raised in a very Christian home. And I was so nervous to tell him. I'd worked for him at this point for about 10 years, and I was his right-hand woman. And I walked in, and I sat down, and I was so nervous. My palms were sweating. We had a full day, but I just couldn't hold it in any longer. And I walked in, I sat down, I looked at him, I said, Dr. Lane, I got to tell you something. And he gets this look like I'm about to like quit or something. He looks at me, he's like, oh, what's wrong? And I was like, I just need you to know this has been really hard for me. I just want to tell you that I'm gay. I'm dating a woman. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he looked back at me, and he said, well, okay, are you going to go load my room? Or are we going to get behind on everything today? And right. I was like, okay, is that it? And he was like, yeah, I don't care who you love or who you're with. You know, I care about what we do inside of these this vet hospital walls and I care that you're happy. And I was like, oh, okay. But I built up this, Adam, I built up this narrative in my mind that I wasn't going to be accepted by this man who I truly looked up to. And I just built up in my mind that I was going to have this moment where I tell this man who means so much to me, and then I'm going to see that look of like rejectment or like disgust or whatever. And it was all just a narrative that I built up. It was a lie that I told myself for so long.
Yeah. It's hard to describe. If you're not gay, you don't understand what we're feeling to the listeners, because we are almost like our worst enemies at that time, you know, because it's such a vulnerable moment that you tell somebody that you're gay, and then maybe you're only going to be like, you know, imaged or perceived just because of your sexual identity versus like who you are as a person overall. So I agree. And I want to answer this too, because when I came back, interesting story with that same hospital. I chose not to be at that hospital when I first came out of vet school, but I love the team so much because I grew up with them. But I decided, let me take a step away from another hospital just to get an idea what the culture is. And I did. And I liked it, but my heart was back to my hometown, you know, with my high school teachers and, you know, my classmates and all that. So I did go back, and he was still there, and he knew that I was gay, and boy, did he change his tune, you know. And there was one moment that I'll never forget that he pulled me into surgery, just random, like he was doing a surgery, and it bothered him. You could tell. He's like, I want to say something, because I know when you were a kid, I didn't realize it, and I'm really sorry, you know. And it meant the world to me just to hear that, because he knew what an impact. It was a very rocky relationship that we had after that moment when I was a kid. And then when I came back, I said, thank you. Thank you so much for understanding and realizing that, you know, because I told him, I said, that really hurt and impacted me, you know. And he says, I'm really, really sorry, you know. And to me, that's all I needed, because this guy is an incredible veterinarian, a great leader in the hospital. And I think you learn from those mistakes. And I think that was a good teachable moment for everybody. So, and so to those that are out there that maybe have this like, oh, I don't know. I mean, education is so powerful. It really is. I mean, Jen, you're doing great work at Zoetis. You're a great friend of mine. I love everything you're doing on social media. And that's just who you are, you know? And so for other people to not see the Jennifer Evans for that person, then shame on them is what I have to say.
You know, Adam, I felt the same way about you. And the story you just told me about your doctor, they gave me chills, because I think a lot of us have this thought process that once they've offended us or once we're in that mindset, there's no going back, when really we need to be just as accepting as we're expecting other people to be. And right. If we give them that opportunity and they take that opportunity and do something beautiful with it, we need to be there to receive that and not to continue to shut down in those moments.
Absolutely. And I think the power of forgiveness is so strong. I mean, this is a life lesson that I've learned growing up. I mean, I have wonderful parents with me, and, you know, learning to forgive. It's, you know, there's moments where you're like, I forgive, not forget. But this is a moment like I genuinely forgave him, and, you know, we moved on together. And I mean, life is too short, everybody out there. I mean, I'm not to go on a tangent, but there's like little things that bother me that I see that happens in this profession. Like you hold on to these little nitty gritty things that irk you about something. In the grand scheme of things, take a step back and say, is it really worth it? Is it really worth talking to this person about something that's bought, whatever it is? Have a really good professional conversation. But I just learned like forgiveness is so powerful. I mean, my brother wasn't very open to it at all. My parents were amazing about it. And we decided we should all talk to your brother together, because like we just know how he was. And he had a little bit of a difficult time initially with it too, because he bullied me every now and then growing up. That's what brothers do, you know. And, you know, back then, maybe I didn't know what it was. He didn't know what it was. You know, it was just like something odd to him. And, but we, I mean, we're close now, of course. And we chatted, and he said, I'm really sorry for making fun of you during those times. Like, I just didn't know how to respond. I said, I didn't either, Tom. Like, I didn't either. You're my brother. I love you no matter what. So I think we have to have that forgiveness in our family too.
Family's that's a big one for me. Adam, I didn't have a great coming out experience. It hasn't been great since. And there are certain things that I have, and this goes back to acceptance with myself, right? Like I have to accept that the majority of my family reacted only with the tools they were given. They were raised in a very small town in Arkansas. They weren't aware of a lot of diversity. They weren't taught to accept a lot of diversity. And for me to think that somebody can change overnight, I know what it's like to just change over time, much less overnight. So I've had to be very accepting with the slow process that's gone along with my family and me being a proud gay woman.
Right. Yeah. So. No, everybody.
And you know, I wanted to touch base on one other thing that you just said, Adam. I think one of the biggest things in vet medicine that we struggle with is a lack of communication and forgiveness. And I think that a lot of times I learned something in a long time ago that made a big impact for me, which was I lost my train of thought for a second, but I learned a lesson a long time ago that people can't read your mind. And when you think that they're supposed to know because you've worked with them for 6 years, or you think they're supposed to know how you react because you've worked with them for so long, that's just not accurate. They can't read your mind. They don't know what you're thinking. And to communicate and let it go is a huge, huge thing. So it is, I just wanted to circle back to that. Sorry.
No, it is a huge thing. And when I came back to practicing my first year of private practice, not at that current house, the house I was at, but another one, I'll never forget this happen. And you can hear a pin drop when it did happen. There was a woman that didn't want me to see her dog because I was gay. And she said it very loud out in the waiting room. She's like, I don't want to see him because he's gay. And their CSR's jaws dropped. They're like, what? And I mean, it was a dachshund too. So it was just so, so hurtful. And on that, thankfully, again, there's great resources and tools nowadays, but I had a great team to talk to and lean on. That client was fired, which rightfully so. I would, if that happened to one of my associates and someone said that, I was like, we don't tolerate hate speech and bullying and any of that. But that really affected me early. And I said, is that what my clients think of me? Am I like the gay veterinarian that's going to somehow, you know, affect the way that I practice and take care of their patients? It's like, that was like, really, it took me for a loop on that one. But I was like, no, I got this. You got great skills, like great mentorship, you know, good support system. But, you know, again, it's still out there though, Jen. I mean, I just heard it the other day from another vet in this profession that said she was denied her. They didn't want to see her because she's gay. And I said, what? You know, but
it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing. Yeah. Well, you know, Adam, there's a lot of, when it comes to authentic self, right? Like there's a lot of these leaderships in the veterinary community that think authentic self is when you're gay, like I'm going to come in dressed head to toe in a pride flag and like whatever their thought process is around authentic self and how they want to fight back at it. When really we just want to be who we are. Like we want to be able to be around the water cooler and talk about how we had dinner with our girlfriend last night and not feel like we're going to get negative looks or feel like we're ousted because that is our truth. And it has nothing to do with coming in with rainbows spewing out of every part of us. It has the fact of just feeling like we are just as equal and just as accepted as the husband and wife and their children doing their activities as well.
Absolutely. I love that you said that. So thank you so much. And, you know, one thing that I said, I was on a panel. I don't remember where it was. I think it was at a vet school for LGBT. And I said, what we learn from our animals is incredible. I mean, I absolutely love being a veterinarian. But we learn so much from them. They don't care who you love. They don't care the color of your skin. It's unconditional love. And that's what the LGBT community is. We literally are the same. We are unconditional love to our children that we take in, to our lives, to our animals, to one another. I have never seen somebody be so anti-whatever in LGBT community. We're just incredibly a loving community. And when they say love is love, we really do mean that. We really do.
I couldn't agree with you, Norm. I'm going to tell you this story. I'm going to tell this joke. Dr. Lang always thought he was so funny. And I don't know that I actually thought he was really that funny, but he thought he was funny. And we'd be in the room and he would be talking to a client. He said, he would tell this joke. He'd say, you could put your wife in the trunk of the car for an hour and your dog in the trunk of the car for an hour. And when you come back, who's happy to see you? It's going to be the dog every time. But it's just this thought process behind like that unconditional love. And it actually inspired this project I'm working on right now, which is I'm working on one about seeing the world through the eyes of a yellow lab. And it'll be really exciting whenever I actually have some full content behind it. But it just is so true. If we could be more like these animals that we give our lives for and we serve so often, our lives would just be so different, I think.
It really would. Well, this has been fantastic, Jen. Thank you so much for being on. Where can our listeners learn more about you or find you? You're on LinkedIn, I believe.
Yeah, I would say when it comes to my professional area, LinkedIn is probably where I'm most active. I'm clearly very active in Zoetis and Pride BMC. And if you are in the veterinary community, you will probably see me around out and about at all times. So.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for all you're doing. And thank you for being such an advocate for the LGBTQ plus community and for all you do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Please stay safe out there. And listen, to any any listener that's having anything about that, please reach out to Jennifer, myself. You know, I think the beauty of what quarantine has done for all of us is connected us actually closer. I mean, we may not be in the same physical space, but we're just a Zoom call away. If you need somebody to talk to, please reach out to either one of us. We'd be more than happy to help with you. And we can provide you with other resources that are fantastic out there. So we'll put some of them in the show notes too on the website. Yeah.
Adam, I do want to take a second before we sign off, and I want to acknowledge you for all the work that you're doing within veterinary medicine, but also our community. It is heartwarming, and I am in awe of watching you do all of the work that you're doing, and I could not be more grateful. And I agree with you, for anybody out there that ever needs anybody, if you feel alone, if you feel like you don't have someone to talk to, you find me, and I'll be ready to sit with you at any time.
Oh, thank you so much, Jen. Thank you for your friendship too. Wonderful. All right, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.